The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I have a word from God for you. Do you want to hear it this morning? If you are in the first service, you will know that this is going to bless you. Amen. So I'm teaching on something very important that will help you prosper in your Christian walk. So I'll read Romans 13, verse 13 and 14. I am not going to explain it now. I will explain it maybe later. Maybe on Thursday or so. But I'm going to read it because my topic is from that verse or those verses. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in chambering, not wantonness, not in strife and envying. And verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. To obey the laws thereof. Make no provision for the flesh. I'm teaching on no room to the flesh. No room to the flesh. Hallelujah. No room to the flesh. As a word of introduction, I would like to show you something. When you are coming to Christ Jesus, when someone gets born again, by the way, what it means to be born again is not actually to change from your to stop. It's beyond character modification. What it means to be born again is actually to accept the price that Jesus has paid for you on the cross. I gave them an analogy in the first service. I'm going to give it again because it came to me yesterday when I was teaching at the Champions Foundation meeting, and you know I've done it before, but again it came afresh again, and I'm going to give it again. If someone is in debt, maybe someone is owing 10 million naira, and then the person is in jail because of it. I'm trying to explain to you what being born again is. The person is in jail because of that. And then someone else, maybe I come and say, you know, Dr. Angel is in jail. She's owing 10 million. Amen? But then I have 100 million, so I go to the bank or wherever, and I settle the person that Dr. Angel is owing. And I even paid 100 million, whereas she's owing 10 million. So I overpaid. Now, I prepare a document. That document says, this is show that Pastor Henry has paid for Dr. Angel and all of that. And then, in the document, I leave room for signature. Dr. Angel has to sign off that she accepts that I've paid for her. So what do we do when we are done with the payment? We carry the document to her and say, see, someone already paid for this. So you sign on this document. If she signs off on that document, what it simply means is that she's free. If she doesn't sign on that document, what it means is she's still in debt, even though I've paid. That's what being born again is. The wages of sin is death. We all are in spiritual death. Jesus has paid. All he's asking you to do is to sign on the document. How do you sign? Accept that he has paid and that you accept the price he paid. If you do not accept to, if say, I know they do all this, so this born again thing, I beg, which one Jesus paid, I beg, let me just be on my own. What is going to happen is, you will remain in sin even though Jesus has paid. You remain in sin. But once someone puts his faith in Christ Jesus, once someone accepts the price that he has paid, that person, that moment becomes a believer. When that happens, you become, the first one of the things that happen to you is that you become a righteous man. So Corinthians 5 tells us in verse 21 that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the man in Christ is The man in Christ is not just righteous. The man in Christ is the righteousness of God.
the definite article. You are the righteousness of God. Now, when that happens to you, something, now, a nature, there is a nature in every man called the sin nature. That sin nature dies. That is why, again, I said, being born again is beyond character modification. Of course, when you become born again, your character will change. But that you stop lying or you stop stealing does not make you born again. If Jesus has not entered your heart to cut off that sin nature, you are still a sinner, you are going to hell. I am not going to go to hell because you are the biggest sinner. You are going to go to hell because there is a sin nature in you. And that sin nature in you cannot be in heaven. Are you following me? So when that happens, the Holy Ghost enters your heart, cuts off that sin nature. It's called the sin nature. Some people call it the old man. Romans 6 verse 6 tells us, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ. Knowing this, our old man. NLT calls it that old sinful nature. Our old sinful selves crucified. Take note of the tenses. He didn't say we should crucify it. What did he say? It has happened. So any man that is born again here, that nature of sin has been removed. You don't house the sin nature anymore. You don't. That's why salvation is beyond people changing their lifestyle. It's actually about somebody dying and someone getting up. So you get there, you say, okay, Father, I accept this in this process, saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and make you my Lord and my Savior. I accept the pain for my sin. That moment, the sinful nature is dead. Then a new man wakes. A brand new species. Whosoever is in Christ is a new creature. That new creature comes up. Are you guys what I'm talking about here? That's what salvation is actually. A person dies for another person to live. That old man, you see that old man that died when you came to Christ? That one likes sin, die. That one likes sin. Romans 8 tells us in verse 8 that nature, the flesh, it cannot please God. The word is cannot. Even if it decides to please God, it cannot. So what Jesus does for you in salvation is to remove that sinful nature. Remove it entirely. Entirely. And then gives you a new nature. And then you come alive. Are you following what I'm saying now? You come alive. Galatians 5:24 tells us that those who are Christ's have crucified. Give me in the screen. Those who are Christ. Galatians 5:24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Did you see the tense? It didn't say you should. What did it say? You have. So the old man is dead. The flesh, that thing that produces sin in you, is dead. That thing that loves sin, that thing that ignites, you know, that is, let me, if you're not born again, if you're an unbeliever, there is a sin producing factory in them. It's the old man. That thing manufactures sin. It comes up with different kinds of sin. And that's why you find out the average unbeliever struggles to live right. In first service, I said this. The believer in Christ, is it that he doesn't sin? He sins. But actually, if you yield yourself very well, the believer in Christ actually struggles to sin. The unbeliever struggles to be right. What's the difference? Nature. 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 Are you following what I'm saying? There are things that you can naturally do because of who you are. Take a fish. Drop it into water. It will swim. That is natural habitat. Bring even human being. Throw human being inside water. No matter how you master swimming. I don't know. What's the highest one that stayed underwater? Has anyone done 24 hours? You'll be struggling because that's not your habitat. 24 hours is like one day. Unless maybe it's all this. Unless you're wearing oxygen. Even that oxygen you are wearing, you go collect. You shall know that you are in a strange habitat. The guy who is not a believer, because of that sin nature in him, he can steal your thing and not flinch about it. I mean, we can be doing worship here, Hosanna, he puts that in your pocket and takes your phone. It doesn't feel bad. I'm not sure. In the presence of God, they don't care.
There is a sin-producing factor inside. You come up with new laws. It comes up with new ways to commit the sin. If you find yourself like that, what you need is salvation. Jesus will come into your heart. He will cut off that nature. Because it's actually a nature. It's not about saying, I'm not going to run him again. You go see run him. Are you following me? What sin does to people? You know, the believer in Christ has, I'm giving an example, he has sexual struggle. Sometimes a girl comes and he's trying to overcome. The other one does not have sexual struggle. That one walks into brothels and says, how much? It doesn't feel bad. What God does, that's what I told you, it's not about changing your evil ways. It's about God removing a nature inside of you. I don't know why I'm emphasizing this matter. He has to come right there in your heart and remove that one will die. He will crucify that one, then a new person will come up. Ephesians 4:24. Glory to God. Ephesians 4:24. Let me show you this. Because I'm actually trying to lay foundation. So there are three circles I used yesterday. I used it today too. So read this, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. So there is a new man that comes alive when you come into Christ. The nature of that new man is righteousness and true holiness. So if you are born again here, there is a new man alive in you. That new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Unadulterated, untainted holiness. New man. But you see that old sinful nature? I don't even know what it is created in. All manner of sin. Now, look at what I'm going to show you. The question people normally ask when I begin to teach like this is, if actually when I come into Christ, the sinful nature dies, why do I still feel like sinning? Why I just see believers that commit sin? I get what I'm saying. There's a reason I'm going to show you. This new man created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, this is the circle I drew. This one out here, we can name it the body. The one inside, we name it the soul. I prefer using mind. Then the one inside, we name spirit. Now, listen to how salvation works and why people still struggle with sin and why I'm doing this teaching. When you come into Christ, this change, this new man created in righteousness and true holiness, look at him here. He's this one inside, the spirit. It is pure, righteous, holy. It cannot be stained. It cannot be tainted. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. That is pure. But there is this one, the mind. The thing about the mind is that this mind, the mind is the seat of character, the seat of wisdom, the seat of emotions, the seat of decisions. That is where so if you are here in church today because you made up your mind to come. So your decisions are influenced from your mind, not your spirit. You see what I'm sharing with you? It is your mind. You sleep because you fall in love, is your mind. You say, no, sir, that is my heart that is in love. Just follow what I'm sharing with you. You fall in love, is your mind. You get heartbroken, is your mind. You decide to steal, is your mind. You decide to live right, everything goes on. That's where life. That's why the Bible said in Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your character will transform when your mind is renewed. Because that is the mind that controls your actions. Are you following me? Then there is the body. There is this body now out here. This guy. Let's not call it the body. Let me call it the flesh. Because what happens actually is, the old man has died. But the desires of the flesh is still working in your mind. So there is actually a fight. I'm going to show you. There is a fight. This man here, the spirit, is trying to, look at this arrow, is trying to cast his influence on your mind. So that, remember, how does this spirit look like?
This spirit is created in holiness through holiness and righteousness, right? So when it casts its influence on your mind, you begin to walk in holiness and righteousness. But this one is trying to influence your mind. So it's a battle of spirit versus flesh. Where the spirit is trying to influence your mind, the flesh is trying to influence your mind. The thing is, anyone you yield your mind to, you now begin to act that way. It begins to control you. It doesn't mean you're not more born again. It doesn't mean your old man has not died. It has died. But its activities are still influencing and controlling you. Is someone get what I'm talking about? And I'm going to show you, because some of you wonder, why am I a Christian and I'm still struggling with this sin? I'm still doing this. This service is going to help you. No room to the flesh. Say amen. When you now yield to the flesh, what happens? Because someone say flesh. What does flesh do? Galatians 5 verse 19. The works of the flesh. Now, when you begin to yield to the flesh, that outside circle, when you begin to yield your mind to it, what will it produce? Read with me. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, every kind of thing, strife, seditions. Now, once you begin to yield, it will be sin upon sin upon sin. Now, when you yield to the other one, it is greater than righteousness and true holiness. It begins to influence your mind too. So when the Bible now says that you should renew your mind, he's actually trying to ask you to yield to the man on the inside that is righteous and is pure and is holy. But then the flesh is pulling you. So I like you to picture this in the spirit. Okay? You know tug of war. Are you getting the point? I need three people. Three men. The platter already. So, line up. One person has to be in the middle. So, Pastor Dave is in the middle. So, you guys will drag this young man. I'm not sure what is happening. So, grab his hand. Which one is spirit? Which one is flesh? So this is actually what is playing out in the spirit. Every time. This is the mind. This is what controls character. But then, there is the spirit. That's righteousness, true holiness. That is the flesh. Both of them, every time, these two things are pulling you. You get the point? One is trying to make you to respond to him. So, don't kill him. But you get the analogy, right? The boats are trying to drag. There is a pull from here. There is a pull from here. Anyone he now begins to yield to, if he begins to yield towards this, you now begin to see idolatry, adultery, fornication, witchcraft. But if he yields towards this, it's the same person. But what he produces every day is dependent on what he's yielding to. That's why I'm saying you must learn how not to give room to the flesh. Because if you give room to the flesh, there's actually, see what I'm teaching you, there's actually no sin you cannot commit. You see what I'm telling you? You say, at least me, I know I did sin, sha, but you get something, so I know if you do. It's actually a lie. If you yield to the flesh, there is nothing you cannot do. Like God, there's nothing you cannot do. Even if you think about it, there are things that you've committed today that some years ago you used to say, at least I know I cannot do this one. I agree what I'm talking about. Is that true or true? Uh-huh. But once you yield, say, all this, I hear people that say things like, me, I won't do juju, make I get money. But what I no go do, I no go buy person. It's a lie. You just need to keep yielding. Person that has counted one, we count two. If you've counted two, you count three. Once you keep yielding, it will take you very far. That same way, you see, there is no righteous work you cannot do. Even all this while you say, I beg, that people I can never forgive, is actually not true. Once you yield more here,
The way you begin to change. There are some of you that are things you do now that years ago you wouldn't have believed. Some that are very hot tempered. Now, when they provoke you, are you looking for the anger? You can't find it. You're wondering, is this me? You've been yielding to something. Are you following what I'm saying? That's actually how character is formed. That's how people live their lives. You're yielding to something. Are you following me? So, return. Is it clear? So, look at the point here. You must learn to not allow flesh. And let me tell you why you shouldn't do that. James 1:15 is getting to where this matters. This bless you tremendously. Some of your Christian life will pick up. Amen. Then when lust had conceived, I'm coming to this later, but let's start with this. It bringeth forth sin. Now, read the next clause, next sentence with me. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. When it is finished. What that tells you is, look, that's why the flesh is dangerous. When you yield to the flesh, there will be sin. Okay? But sin is not the end product of what flesh wants to do to you. Sin, when it is finished. So sin is just the beginning. All I just lied. That's not all the devil wants. He has bigger plans. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. So the end product is death. But listen, before you write. When he says sin brings forth death, he's not talking about spiritual death. Because the believer in Christ has escaped spiritual death. So James is not threatening you that when you keep sinning, you will die spiritually. Amen. We have escaped spiritual death. Say amen. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. When you come into Christ, you've received eternal life. John 5:24 tells us that he that has come into Christ has passed from death into life. Give me on the screen. John 5:24. You've passed from death into life. Ready to get everybody? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has what? Everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death. So the man in Christ has passed from death to life. So basic, James is not saying you are going to die again. Do you understand the point? And James is not talking about physical death too. Because of course we know it's not every sin that will produce physical death. And we cannot now say that anyone that dies physically died because of sin. So what is James talking about? He's saying when you commit sin, sin has an agenda. When it finishes its agenda, it will produce death. What is that death? We can look at the book of James again, because James spoke about this again. In James chapter 5, verse 19, open it. He spoke about this particular matter again. Brethren, watch. We want to find out what death is in James' rendering. If any of you do err from the truth and want to convert him, verse 20, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from what is that death? And shall hide a multitude of sin. So when James is talking about death, he's talking about the fact that when you sin and sin finishes its work in your life, it's going to produce a multitude of sin, a consistent defeated lifestyle of sin. So you tell the first lie. That's not all the devil wants to do to you. He wants to bring you to a point where you now lie, steal, and become useless and defeated. Jesus put it this way. In Luke 22 verse 31, he told Peter, Simon, Satan has planned to what? Talk to me. To sift you like wheat. What was the temptation coming to Peter? To deny Jesus. But Jesus is saying to him, denying me is not all the devil wants to do to you. The end product is to sift you like wheat. You know what it means to sift like wheat? Like, to sift. So, have you ever sifted anything? You're sifting akam, pap, right? Or gare, or, again. Aribo. You are sieving something. When that is done, you collect the right one, then you leave chaff. At least we process gari very well. Ever process gari, anybody? Okay. Pap, anybody?
Which other thing? We're looking for that in the first service. We didn't see. Flo, who's that one? Okay. Who knows that one? Huh? Glory to God. Well, you collect the good one and leave the bad one. Even processing maybe juice, maybe fruit juice or something. You sieve it, you know, right? Then the juice goes, then you leave the... Do you understand? Satan has planned to sift you like that, that you come to the point where you are chaff. That's actually what sin wants to do to you. It's not just about getting you to lie or to fornicate or to do whatever. Fornication is just the starting point of where sin is going to. It is getting to a point where you now become so lost in the sin, continue in it, and you are useless and ineffective to the kingdom. This is why you don't yield to the flesh, because it will take you farther than you want to go. It's always, you know, the devil, you know, I was reading a book recently, and the man of God said, the devil is smart. The devil cannot come to a believer and tell the believer to go and steal $10 million. He knows you will not agree. So how will he produce that result in you? Someone has given you 10,000 to keep for him. Or maybe you have church 10,000 in your custody. You understand that you now take like 500 and do something and then return it later. You now take 1,000. Do you understand? You are yielding small, small. I said it in the first service. Every time I've seen anyone that commits fornication, you know, church people and all of that. If you ask the unbeliever guy, how does he commit sin or fornication? Or people that have yielded fully to the flesh. How do they commit it? They plan. Today is a day of fornication. They dress up. Why are you going to? I want to go see my guy. He might even be going. He buys condom. He's getting set. That's not actually how it happens for believers. It's always, first of all, there's a harmless visit. Do you understand? You now come. After everything, the person now kiss you. Say, don't do that again. I don't like it. And then you will quarrel. After 3 days, you come. I promise it will not happen again. Then there's another peck. And there's another peck. Then gradually we are getting comfortable with pecking. It's just pecking. Please, let's not cross this line, please. We agree. Then there is touch. He said, I told you I don't want this. Then second day, then third day, then fourth day. Then we are now okay with touch. You see what the devil is doing? That he has an agenda. From there, finally, there is sex. There is crying. There is sex again. Then sex again. Then sex again. Then sex again. Then there is an extra person. Then there's an extra. You see what? Let me tell you what it does. I gave it to somebody in the first service. Look at how it takes you further. You get girlfriend. Just have one girlfriend. And then you begin to sleep with that person. And then you comfort yourself with the fact that at least I'm having sex with my girlfriend. It just makes sense because it's your girlfriend. But you are saying, you know, but you've then justified it. You think that's where Satan wants to stop. More girls are coming. Yes. Because the plan is multitude of sin. It's all I'm talking about here. More is coming. Before you know, there is an extra person, then there's an extra person, then there is a mistake, then there is an extra person, then there is a mistake, then before you know, there are two people, before you know, you start hiding your phone. Say, don't read my chat. You want to see my chat. What happened is just one sin, but the end point is a multitude of it. When sin has finished its course, it's just one anger thing, and when you get angry, you curse. You say, God, turn that fire, you know, go better for you. He said, man, I'm not going to touch you. Man, I just curse you, finish, and go. You are getting set. Sin is settling in. When it is done, you'll be fighting in the park. Because it has an agenda to sift you like wheat till you get to a point where you are like chaff. You're already righteous in Christ, so the new man is renewed and all of that. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to keep you yielding. You see, if you yield to the flesh, it can take you farther than you want to go. And like I always say, and keep you longer than you want to stay. Keep you longer than you want to stay. That's why it's important that you don't yield to the flesh, because he will not stop. The devil will not stop. You know, I've always said that if you let the devil, he will never stop. Never.
Many of us don't realize the devil plays the longer game. We think tomorrow, certain things 10 years. He's thinking of how we can use this particular thing to destroy your 15 years to come. Are you following me? The person that is doing hookup today, there was a time you couldn't lift her clothes. There was a time you couldn't even hug her. Are you following what I'm saying? But then there was one, then the second, then gradually it became normal. It became normal. It's now she has been wasted. Sin has finished its course. She can now go on sometimes in one night, 3 to 4 men, and she's back spending the money. That you see, when it gets to a point, she can even do it and now post it on Facebook and say, "I beg, it's not your business. I'm making my money." You see, this same person about 5 years ago. I get what I'm talking about. Sin has an agenda for your life. That's what I'm trying to say. The flesh has an agenda for your life. If you yield to it, you are going far. Very, very far. Because have you ever seen people commit certain sins or become so loose with their life and you're wondering, how did they get here? Has that ever happened to you? How did they, like Jesus Christ, how did they get here? But you can't. In fact, I have seen believers who were once serious with God. Not only did they become, of course they didn't leave the faith, but not only did they backslide, but they become so frivolous. They commit some sins that you can't even imagine. Sir, I have seen, what I'm saying is, I've seen a believer, a minister of the gospel, in quotes, that went around preaching the gospel, that is currently doing Yahoo. As we are talking. Without emotions. You know, he doesn't care. How did he get to that point? And some people that are around me know the story I'm telling. How did he get to that point? And we warned. He was just regular. At the time, you know, he had, at the time he was in this school and he couldn't be there. And then for some reason, they were writing an exam and he gave somebody like 5K to write an exam for him. Believer in Christ. People would talk, they say, "I beg, which one did?" You see, the devil, he has an agenda for your life. From there, he began to master the art of fraud and cheating. I get what I'm saying. Sin has a plan. The flesh has a plan. And that's why if you let it, it will drive you too far. And I'm happy I'm doing this teaching in December because this is where people yield to the flesh the most. And I said it in the first service. A girl that has stayed chaste and pure since January is December that she begins to, you know, loosen up. Don't loosen up this December. And I'm telling you, Don't lose nothing. Do you understand? People are now pushing money up and down. Listen, it's not your life ending. It's just the year. is it not the year? It's just the year. It's not your life that is about to come to an end. You think you are going to die in December? Why are you living life as you are going to die in January? It's just the year, and the year is coming to an end because some people sat down and said that the year will be 365 days. If we had made, we should have made 1 year 1,000 days so that people will calm down. At least by now, you should have been 10 years or 15 years. You won't come under pressure. Because if the year is 1,000 days, if you are 30, you'll be 10 by now. All this pressure, man-made, and you begin to yield from big pockets to using gun. You say, "I beg, how can a believer use gun?" A believer can use gun. You guys don't understand flesh. It will drag you. It will drag you to places you never knew you would ever be. I gave an example first of this. Even pastors. How does a pastor go from being... These days, when I hear this one is diabolic, some people I hear that are diabolic, I just put my hand on my head because I know them. Some of them were genuine men of God. I know when they got born again, when they began to speak in tongues. But a little yielding. Just maybe it starts with exaggeration on the stage. Someone is partially deaf. He said, "Completely deaf for 12 years, healed by the power of God." It starts from there. You're not lying.
You're lying. It starts from there. Completely deaf. Someone broke his leg. He's a cripple from birth. I'm just trying to tell you. You know, it's just a little yielding to the flesh. It's dragging you. Before you know, there are no miracles now. You have to forge them. Before you know, you have to pay people to come and act. Before you know, I get to the point. But you want some to be real. You now get back to sender oil. You now get Holy Ghost fire powder. It's dragging you. You are pushing to diabolism, but you don't know. My point is, there is none of us that cannot do anything if we yield to that thing. You are not stronger than an influence you've yielded to. You are not. So look at the battle. Look at where it's happening. This one is pulling. This one is pulling. They're just dragging you. I'm going to help you in this series. So if you really want to have a serious Christian life and live, you need to listen to what I'm going to share. I shared my story with them in the first episode. Maybe I'll do that before I go. Because me too, I've had that first share of the track. You can do anything. You can become a thief in ministry. Proper thief. Thief. And nobody, you see what I'm trying to teach you? Nobody starts in ministry and decides he's going to be a thief. Except he was never born again. Nobody. We all come with good intentions. We want to change the world for Jesus. That's the intention. Then unchecked things begin to happen. Then you begin to throw your emotions and your will towards something. And gradually the flesh pulls you. At a point, even deep down within, you are questioning if you are really born again. You ask yourself, am I sure I'm even saved? That's why you go to programs, you see pastors coming to answer altar call. Not because they were never born again, but there is a way you can heal to the flesh. Even you will begin to doubt if you are born again. With all the gospel you know in your head. Because you tell yourself, if I am born again, why? It's not like you are not born again, but you are yielding. And this pulling you is pulling you. And once the mind is infiltrated by any of these things, you can no longer tell it what it can do. That's why the instruction of the Bible, which I'll come to much later, is to now renew your mind. What to renew your mind? Begin to fill your mind with the Word of God. Because once you fill it with the Word of God, it will begin to respond to the Word of God. Are you still here? So let's solve this problem. Let's start solving the issue. Okay? So Satan wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to waste you. He wants to bring you to the point where you are an ineffective Christian. When you are not even, you get to a point where you don't even go to church again. Where you don't even care about church again. Say, church, that beg that one. Make come and the church that is deceiving us. How did you even get there? You grew up in a Christian home. But missing church one day, second day, then 1 week, then 2 weeks, then started washing clothes on Sunday. Gradually, he's taking you far. Everybody's going far. It depends on where you are going to. Are you still here? I have an instruction, maybe on Thursday or on Sunday, for young people here. It's part of this teaching. Because I will show you 3 major temptations the devil poses to every young person. If you conquer it, you've won in life. From the Bible. But not today. Amen. If you conquer, you've won both spiritually, physically, everything. This one, I will teach you from the Bible, but you also, if you read emotional books, you will see the same thing because they got it from the Bible. But there's one of them, for instance, is materialism. If you conquer the pool of money, you've won. The other one, women or men. I'm telling you. Glory to God. Are you still here? So, how do you begin to give room to the flesh? The first thing I'm going to say is, identify how temptations come. I'll just deal with that today, and we close. We'll pick up on Thursday. Are you getting blessed? Identify how temptation comes. So James 1 verse 13. Let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. So James wants to discuss temptation, but he first clears you.
Never think or say that the devil, that God rather is the one tempting you. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. So it's not God tempting. Don't say God is tempting me to. Mm-mm. Who tempted Job? It was the devil. Is it clear? Go back there. I didn't ask you to move. Who tempted Job? It was the devil. So Job, James identifies first that there is a tempter. There's a tempter. But then he clears you that it is not God. Is someone getting what I'm saying? So, from Bible we know it is Satan. Who tempted Judas? Satan. The Bible says Satan entered him. So, Satan is a tempter. Is it clear to all of us? But then, Satan does not tempt you from the outside. Now, see verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts. So that is lust. This lust is not actually, in this context, not a bad word. This lust simply means desire. Give me like NLT. Some of you will see how you are defeated. New Living Translation. Temptation comes from your own desires. Desire. I mean, not bad desire. Good, righteous desire. Simple, natural desire. I give an example. Where does temptation for immorality come from? It comes from a natural desire called sexual urge that everybody has and everybody should have. I hope you have sexual urge sometimes. Do you have sexual urge sometimes? Please ensure you do. And if you don't, let's help you by praying for you. For instance, there's a natural desire to have money. Everybody here has it. And it's not bad. There's a natural desire for food. Now, I'm just saying, the natural desire for food. What else? Even natural desire for care and affection. It's in everybody. And it is not bad. It is not bad. Now, the secret is this. If there is no natural desire, Satan cannot tempt you. He uses your natural desires. Do you understand? For instance, I gave an example in the first service. There are foods that we don't like. What food do you not like? Okwa. You don't eat it at all? Okay. Rochino doesn't like okwa. Glory to God. Who else? What food do you not like? Nothing. Hallelujah. So if there is okwa in the kitchen, even if Rochinedu is a thief, he will not go for it. Because there is no natural desire. So Satan cannot pin a temptation there. He doesn't like it. That's why most children, for instance, don't like beans. So you can never catch a child going to steal beans from the pot. But put meat, put chicken, they will go and... Because there is a natural desire. Now, this is where stuff. At that point of desire, you have not committed any sin. It's just a desire. Everybody should have it. You see what I'm saying? Everybody should have it. Everybody has it. There is a natural desire to succeed. Everybody should have, want to succeed. There's a natural desire to pass exam. Everybody wants to pass exam. There's a natural desire to be excellent. Those things are there. But look at how the devil works. So there is lust. And that lust is desire. I had to put NLT because when people see lust, they think I'm talking about maybe lust. Just desire. Now, he now says, go back to King James. There is, now, the problem now is, he said, everyone is tempted when he's thrown away of his own lust and enticed. That word enticed in the Greek is what deliazo. D-E-L-E-A. Z also, I just spell it here. Okay, what am I doing?
That word means to bait. So Satan uses that your desire to bait you. You know what I mean? Bait. B-A-I-T. To bait. Just like you want to catch fish. You have to put... What do you use in catching fish? A bait. Maybe something like... You want to catch rats. You put crayfish as a bait. Then it comes. That your natural desire is the bait. But look at the problem. There's nothing wrong with that desire at that point. But look at verse 15. Then when lust, that your desire, has conceived. This is the problem. It bringeth forth sin. The word conceived is the Greek word sulambano. And that's a very important word because that is where the problem is. Sulambano. That word in the Greek, it means to seize, to take hold of, to take as a prisoner. So, natural desire to make money, everybody has. But when you allow it to now seize you, to hold you down, where it now becomes more important than everything you know, it will now produce sin. Natural desire to have sex, sexual urge, but then you allow it, it stays and seizes you. It now holds you like a prisoner. So others have it in their room and they just distract themselves and just pray or do something and it just goes. But then your own has seized you. It carries you. You stand up from your chair. You begin to move from house to house. You're looking for somebody. It was a natural desire, but it seized you. Natural desire to pass exam, but your own has become so strong. You now begin to sneak in book. It is that desire that seizes people. That is actually how sin now comes. So you see how the flesh operates. It uses the natural desire that you have to pull you. You want to have money. We all want to have money. Don't we? You want to pass exam. We all want to pass exam. Don't we? Just like I said in the first time, they will say, you know, people are stealing in Nigeria. They say the reason people are stealing is because economy is hard. Listen, economy is hard for all of us. That hunger you are passing through, we are passing through the same thing. We all go to the same market. We all buy rice at the same price. Abi, you have where you buy your own rice from. The reason you are stealing and we are not is because your desire to eat has become more important to you than your desire for morals. I get what I'm saying? So that your desire has held you. Judas was hungry, like every other person. Not Judas, but like Esau. Like every other person was hungry. But his desire for food was too important. They said, birthright. Say, which one is birthright? Are they eating birthright? Give me food, Joe. Let me eat. Take birthright. Was hunger a bad thing? No. But that hunger held him. And I'm going to show you how not to let your desire hold. Because once he holds you to that point, it begins to drag you around. And it won't stop. Do you understand the point? We all want to make money. We are all good. We step out in the morning. We walk. We are thinking, coming up with new ideas. But your own was too strong. It carries you. You begin to press system to steal people's money. And they say, why are you doing that? You say, because of mama at home. We all don't have mother. Inwere mama. We all have mothers. We have mama at home too. We have papa too. It's not mama anything. Maybe it's even because of mama. Maybe your mother told the rapper to send you to school and all of that. You really want to take care of her. But that desire, which is the righteous desire, has become too strong upon your life that it has overshadowed every other sense of reasoning that you have. And that's where the problem is. Because everything you think you want out of life, we all want it. Do you understand? You want to pass the exam. We all want to pass. It's your radar. We don't want to fail. You want to make money. We all want to make it. But your own has driven you too far. You now want to put rice for someone. In a race, you sell rice. You now use back of cup to put for someone. That's the only way I can make profit. Economy is hard.
a righteous desire, a natural desire. But it has taken hold of you. It has grabbed you. It has seized you. Now look at the example I gave in the first service. That would take me to how I round up this teaching. How many of you here, if you are over 30, that when you are 16 years, your vision in life, you really wanted to drive Benz the next week? Anybody? When you are, if you are over 30, because now Omar Akatu in something. But when we are growing up, at 16 years, either in a day jump, or in a boss affair, you have to be doing what? Do you understand? The question is, how come that children these days, 15 years, the generation is spoiling? I'll tell you why it's spoiling. I'm going to show you in God's word shortly. Children of 16 years now, they are all fighting, all of in our own time. There is a reason. Now, it's not as though children have more desire now to make money than we had then. No. But there is a way this thing works. Are you still here? Are we still here? What you need to begin to do is to shut down those desires. Now, shut down, of course, you can't stop the desire, but shut down the external influences of those desires. This is where the problem is. I have a natural desire to make money. But then there are external influences that begin to act on that desire and begins to feed that desire. Let me look at this. Oh, I wish there's children's church here. There's children's church. Now, if King comes now, King, your boy, you know, and tries to, and holds your hand, I said, Daddy, you're not going anywhere. You can simply pull your hand off and then you start going. That's a baby. But then you are going to keep feeding King. Oneto, 10 years, 20, 40. There's a time he's going to get to. If that boy will hold your hand and say, I'm not going anywhere, you are the one that will be begging him, please now stop this rubbish you are doing. What has happened? He has grown. There is a natural desire to make money in you. Natural desire to do whatever in you. The problem is there are external things you expose yourself to and you keep feeding that desire. You will feed it to a point, it will become too strong. If you go to that, you cannot move. That's what I explain to you now. So I give an example. We all want to make money. I'm using money now. But then you went further. You began to watch videos on TikTok where a boy bought 4 cars, gave to the mother, gave to the father, gave to the brother, and dashed the gate man one. And he's praying money. Is nurturing that appetite inside of you gradually. The next song that comes out is what are these songs that talk about money? Huh? Well, there is waiting we gain. If we don't make money, waiting we gain. The other one is levels, doings. These are the songs really now. Don't you observe? That is actually what is injecting into the atmosphere. So every young boy turns to the right, he sees need to make more money. He turns to the left. What is happening? A natural desire in him, Satan has seized it. He's feeding it. You feed it to a point, that thing becomes too strong. It will drag boys. SS2 boys, they will run away from hostel to go and make money. To go and make money. This is how the devil messes. So for instance, talk about sex. Natural desire everybody has for sexual urge. How did you get to the point where you are now sleeping like a dog all over the place? It started, some of you, it started from when you were young. You lived in a yard. Not that kind of yard, where every and anything happens. How many of you grew up in that kind of yard? Where Umaka, 5 years, 7 years already fondling each other and you keep hearing those things. At that age, you begin to see things and hear things you shouldn't have ever heard in your life. You so follow what I'm talking about. Then you began to grow. You began to watch movies. You watch this movie, they are kissing. You watch this one, they are doing this. The next thing, they began to expose you. What is happening? There's a natural desire in everybody that you should explore in marriage. But no, something is feeding that thing. It's getting bigger. It will now get to the point that when it holds you, it can drag you from where you are to a prostitute's house. And you're wondering, sometimes you're asking yourself, is this me? Sometimes you can literally feel you are under a strange influence, but you can't stop. Someone feels he's depressed. He wants to be happy. He wants to be high. He wants to be joyful. We all want to be joyful and happy and, you know, ease off the pressure that comes from life. But your own, it makes you begin to smoke things. Something was feeding that in. You saw your friends smoking. You say, God forbid, my father is a pastor. I can never smoke this. The next day you come back there. You sat there. You saw them. You read it. You watch every music video now. Someone is smoking. You know what I'm trying to tell you? It is normal. It's feeding something inside of you. So eventually you begin to do it. Some of you, if we play back your 10-year-old self, there are things that it will never believe that you have done by now. What fed those appetites? This is one of the major ways to begin to refuse to yield to the flesh. You have to shut down the influences that feed your natural desires and overfeed it. I'm a man of God. I want to do things right. But then I surround myself with all the friends that are doing things wrongly. This other minister just is stealing from his church. He just bought Benz. The other minister is doing this. He just built house. And they're my friends. Gradually, one day, me too, we begin to touch what I shouldn't touch. And so if you can shut down the natural influences around your life that are feeding those natural desires, you would have solved the issue of sin by a certain percentage. Not totally. We'll continue on Thursday. But by a certain percentage, you would have dealt with the issue of sin. So boys know this. They want to get a girl to sleep with them. The girl is a virgin. She has never done anything. They will begin to sow thoughts. They begin to plant desires in your heart. They begin to talk dirty to you. They begin to do all of those things. You know what they're doing? They already know that the natural desire for sex in everybody. So they're using their words to feed that desire. Are you following what I'm talking about? They don't know, but they will feed it to a point. You self, eventually, you're going to give in. Because that desire was already there as a natural thing. So, if you can locate these things that feed, that is why it's not every kind of music the believer should listen to. So if I see struggling with immorality, but then every song, you watch their music videos where people are wearing pants and shaking their bum bum, and you think you're just going to suddenly stop doing, you won't. Because the more you're watching those things, something is getting ignited in you. Let me say this to you. Satan can use anything that is good. Even desire to walk in power. Desire like to, you know what I mean, to raise it and heal the sick can be a tool in the hand of the devil. It's a natural, it's a good desire. We want to heal the sick and raise the dead. Satan will just seize it. And your desire to walk in power will become stronger than your desire to please God. Do you understand? Now, you want to walk in power, but it's stronger than your desire to please God. At that point, you can do anything. Anything to be powerful. Anything. Anything. You think there are no politicians that come out and they really want to do well in the country? There are people that come out, you hear them talk, even one-on-one, you just know that these ones love their country, they want to change their country. Righteous desire, but Satan will come and begin to feast on it. And so bad thoughts, gradually, by the time they come, get to that office, they don't even, which one is do well, build which road. What spoils? Influences. Psalm 1 verse 1. He said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. So there is a place not to walk. There are places not to stand. There are places not to sit. But if you keep sitting there, you are feeding an appetite that will destroy you. You know what it is like? It's like you buy lion. You catch a young lion and you start giving it food. Every day you are giving it food. You are feeding lion. One day, you keep friends around you, they keep sowing thoughts in your head. There are some of you here that have never, like for me now, let me use it again. I've never been tempted to do Yahoo. Never. That's not because I don't like money. I don't even have a friend that can. I don't have people that this. I don't even know how they to do it.
That's, you get the point. That circle of friends, no day. That other sin I've been tempted to commit to. But this one, I'm not interested. But then you fill yourself with friends. There are ladies here that went through school and came out. They've never attempted hookup in their lifetime. In fact, they've never been tempted to do it. They don't even know how they used to do it. They don't even know who to meet if they now want to start. But you know all the people you can meet if you want to start. You even know who you can call. It is the people that you are keeping around you. They are feeding an appetite inside of you. Then what is that natural appetite? You want to make money. Then I begin to feed it. That's how lying is. All of us want people to see us as good people. Everybody, right? You want people to see you as a good person. But what the devil does, that natural desire to be seen as a good person, he seizes it so much that you can now lie, even talk other people down so that you yourself can be seen as a good person. Mind what you're exposing yourself to. Mind the events that are allowing around your life, because it is feeding something and you just don't know. Anyway, something inside of you, you are feeding something. You are feeding an appetite. And it is growing stronger. It's growing stronger. I used to make this analogy when I talk to my friends, you know, about immorality and all of that. I normally say to them, if there is a wall here, you actually don't want to take... Have I used this analogy for you, anybody? If you have canceled the person, I've used this thing for you. I don't want to take down this wall. It's not my intention. But then, every day I come with a hammer and I hit this wall like 3 times and I go. I don't want to take it down. The next day I come, I hit it 3 times and I go. The next day I hit it 3 times and I go. There is a day that is coming that I will come to hit that wall as usual with no intention of taking it down. It's just go down. I'm booking it over time. That's how it plays out in your mind. Today, they just drop those thoughts. You say, I beg, no reason. I know few reason that one. But I'm dropping the thoughts. One day, your walls will crack. So find the influence around them and call it off. You don't want to compromise in business. I'm telling you what to do. There are people not to keep around. There are music not to listen. There are songs not to listen to. There are places not to visit. Why shouldn't a believer go to the club? Is it because when you go to the club, just will kill you? No. But because if you go to the club, you will be around an influence that you shouldn't be around. Yes. You better than influence you should be around. After some time, you begin to desire things that you should have desired at all in your life. There are some of you that these examples I'm using are too strange to you. You don't know why a person is using this kind of example. Because you've never been around those kind of things. I get to the point. I told you guys I went through school and came out. I've never desired. Before I entered school, I wanted to do courtesy small. But when I got saved, I entered school. Never. I don't even know who used to do it. How they used to join. I don't even know anybody. Because I didn't have this kind of friends. I don't know why God is making me talk about friends a lot this morning. But you might have to watch people you keep around. You might have to delete people's contacts after this service. The devil is wicked. One of our dear ones here that testified, she was in the first service, that testified to me about how God saved her from all these addiction thing. That time I was with my wife, and I was telling my wife, I need to talk to this person. I was just feeling it very strongly. You remember now? I need to talk to this person. So I said, I called. Of course, I rarely call. If I call you, amen. I rarely call. But I called. Hello? I said, daddy. I said, yes, what's happening? I said, my life is just... She has been delivered from addiction, but the devil was coming back. This drug addiction thing. So her brain was already playing with her. So in different thoughts in her head. You know, what I'm trying to tell you, around when she was still struggling with that thing, suddenly, her weed connects, like weed supplier. That supply her with those days. That she had blocked the guy's number. Suddenly, looked at another number and called her up. That very day that she was considering everything. He said, I'll take a number from you. It's been long. You know, the devil does. He knows how to play the game. I said, do you see a block button on your phone? Block that one. And
tell the person, I said, you have to be bold and tell this person, I no longer indulge in this. He said, Daddy, my friends, I can't even tell them. They will laugh. Laugh. It's even good they laugh so that you know they're not your friends. There are people to block off. There are people to stop talking to. There are people to stop following on Facebook. Because some of them are not influencers. Just see them on Facebook. How they're spending money. How they're living life. How they're doing this. You come under that pressure. I don't know who needs to hear this, but contentment is a virtue. Some of you never knew, talking about money, some of you never knew you were poor until you saw that your friend bought a car. Until you saw someone eating money, you never knew. You were okay with how you were, trusting over the next level. But people began to flash things before you. You now began to feel like your own life has spoilt. Your life has not spoilt. Is someone following me this morning? So there are places God of. First Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Because the flesh will pull you. And remember what I said. If you yield, it will keep dragging you along. It will keep dragging you along. You can even get to a point where you now start killing people. And you'll be surprised at the kind of person you've become. You'll be surprised at who you are now. Give me Amplified Classic. Please let's read together. Amplified Classic. Once they have it on the screen. Are we there? Let's read together quick. Come on. No, let's wait. Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Let's go together. Abstain from evil. Shrink from it. Keep aloof from it. In whatever form or whatever kind it may be. Abstain. I wish I had time. How did Judas betray Jesus? Natural quest for money. Is that what I showed you? Do you think Judas woke up and betrayed Jesus one day? Let me tell you. Do you know that before Jesus betrayed Jesus, he has been stealing money? Have I shown you that in the Bible? The Bible said he used to take from the poor because he was a treasurer. So Satan did not just... There was no prophecy in the Old Testament that carried Judas' name as though there is a man called Judas that betrayed Jesus. There is nothing like that. But there was a prophecy that somebody would betray Jesus. So when Satan came, he looked for who had been feeding his appetite for money. And that became the person. So Judas has been stealing from the purse here and there, here and there, here and there. And then sold Jesus. It's the same game. It's the same game. It's the same game. It's the same game. So don't let the devil cut off every appearance. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6 tells us verse 18. He said, flee sexual immorality. What? The same thing I'm teaching you. Don't be in the company of people. Now, when you hear flee sexual immorality, flee fornication, it doesn't just mean that when they're asking you to come and fornicate, you start running. That one day. But I'm saying there are companies that when you flee them, you flee from sexual immorality. Do you understand the point? There are people that want to ship from. Flee. 1 Corinthians 10. Flee idolatry. Flee idolatry. There are things you run away from. 1 Timothy. Thou man of God, flee these things. 1 Timothy 2. Flee youthful lust. There are many flees in the Bible. There are many things the Bible says you run from. You see, you know the problem? I'm listening because if it is the devil, the Bible says resist the devil. He will flee. So Satan flees from us. We don't flee from the devil. But when it is the flesh, the Bible said, give no room. Give no room. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Run. Give no room. Because people normally say it's only immorality who ask to flee. I've shown you many now. Fornication, flee. Idolatry, flee. When God, Paul taught Timothy about youthful lust, look for that verse, 1 Timothy, he said, flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. Are we still here? Flee youthful lust. Glory to God. God will help you. That's 1 Timothy. Before I get to youthful lust, 1 Timothy 6 verse 11, he said, but thou, I'll come to this letter. In this 6 verse 11, he was talking about preachers that are used to materialism. He said, but thou O man of God, flee these things. There are things you should run away from. Because those influences, 2 Timothy 2 verse 22, flee youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust. When you come to the devil, don't run from the devil. Stand, resist the devil. He comes against your finance. Resist him. He comes against your health. You get the point. Stay in prayer. But when it comes to these things, don't negotiate. Run. Because once you keep those influences around, they are pulling you. Remember already there is a natural desire inside of you. I get what I'm saying. And I want to say this before I close. By the Spirit. There are many of you, the game the devil is playing in your life is that there are some things you've never desired before in your life. But he's trying to wake those. I gave an example in the first service. There are people who say they are gay. Say, I'm lesbian, I'm homosexual. And they say, that's how I was born. Actually, that's not how they were born. They got into a company, or they met somebody, or they watched a movie, all of those things. They began to sow those thoughts in their heart, and now feel, that's how I was born. In fact, in many of the gay cases I've handled, the people who are claiming to be gay now, we are first raped by a gay person. And that became how, after crying, but that thought has stayed. There are ladies that are promiscuous today because they were first raped. After they finished crying from the rape, they didn't heal. We know what the devil used that rape to do, to drop those ideas in their head. They would have never considered sleeping with anybody, but those things drop those thoughts in their head. Listen, shut down the things that feed your appetite. Shut it down. Cut off the friends. Stay away from those places. Stay away from those kind of songs. Stay away from those kind of places. Give no room to the flesh. Give no occasion to the flesh. I want to close with that verse. Romans 13 verse 14. Give no occasion to the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Don't let the thing take over you. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll come to this next week. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. If you make provision for the flesh, you will fulfill its lust. If you give it room, you fulfill its lust. Keep watching that pornography you are watching. It will not be long. You'll be in the bed of a woman or the bed of a man. It's a matter of time. You give it room, it's feeding something. It's feeding something. And remember how I started. It will not just end by getting somebody's bed. Satan has other agenda. Sin is not the end. The end is death. Do you remember that? Much more destruction. God will help you. I say, God will help you. This calls for readjustment in some way. And I'm teaching you, I run it in my life all the time. I close this way. We're telling that story I told in the first service. Because I want to tell the story because you know that what I'm sharing can happen to anybody. Okay, if you yield to the flesh, you can commit. Many years ago, I grew up in a very solid Christian background. Very solid, you know, not just solid Christian background, a very orthodox way of doing things. I told you guys, growing up, I don't even know how to raise money. How they used to raise money in our church then is to do almanac. You know almanac? Calendar. People will launch it. Or to do cake. So I did all this one of, come and give. I didn't know how to do it. Some of you, if you went to my kind of church, you should know what I'm saying. Just print almanac or do cake. Come and cut cake. And launch cake for us. Or do envelope. You know those kind of things. That's how you raise money. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you that's how I grew up. But then, they began to expose us to some kind of preachers. Who will come and sit down in one service and raise 3 million naira from a very poor place. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding, a very poor place. Shake, it's on my leg now. If you come and touch it, 200,000, you carry it. People will rush out. One brought stone, about 10 stones, and poured oil on it. And said, once you come and carry, I can't keep in your house. You have, is it the rock of ages? I don't know what you're going to have. And put a price tag on it. 500 and they were carrying stone. So I saw those things. I said, of course, my spirit fought. I've always been, you know, growing up, people believe I was a critic actually. Because once I just stand, I'm looking at you, I'm wondering, what are you people doing? But you know the problem with such things? Thoughts you are dropping. I didn't know actually. Are you following me? They were not, that's what they didn't do. One will come with pure water. I mean, you know, sachet water. One full diner. They can sell one for 5,000. Because if anybody is sick, just drink it. We experienced one meeting where somebody came. He came with a Jeep. Big Highlander Jeep. But the man of God came with the Highlander Jeep. When he was going home, he couldn't return with the Highlander Jeep. I mean, it was full with gifts. Bag of rice, plantain, bag of... And none of them were given deliberately. He would tell you to go and bring it for him. Somebody we know went to him, sir, please pray for me. I want what you carry. He looked at him. He said, 43. That's my shoe size. Come buy me sharp Italian shoe. I'm bring it. I want to buy it. So I was disgusted. But that's why the Bible said, do not even sit in the seat of discomfort. Don't stand in the world of... But I was seeing those things. So one day, I went to preach. Secondary school. As power was moving front and back. It's funny now because I can laugh about it, but I felt very bad about it. I just say, shaka kakaraka. I went with my friend though. Come and anything you have that's an anointing, come and put it in my hand now. Your life is about to change. Students, you are running out with their money. 1,000. As we are just for keeping. Come and put it. Shakra, kaka, kaka, kaka. We are running. They were pressing to put money. You know when I knew that I was stupid? Was when I got home and I was counting the money. You don't get. Like I was counting. Like we went to loot. We are back with our loot. I couldn't spend a dime. Ask my friend this, Paskesi. We packed everything straight to church offering. And went. We couldn't locate the students, you know, that gave all those things. Went everything. That wasn't to justify anything, but that was like, I couldn't do it. And I knew that day that if you keep listening to the, keep hanging around those people. And that's why some of you wonder why those days, you know, because they grew up with me. If you ask this man will come here, I won't attend. That's why. Because if you keep hanging around, thoughts. Because at the time, one of them was already calling me and saying, you know, I've heard that you can preach very well, so let's partner together. You preach and I prophesy. And I was stalling, saying, let me pray about it. And this man opened his mouth to tell me, I should not worry. That money will not be our problem. That we'll share it well. So this, I blocked his future. On my phone. Blocked his past, his number. And because that's those thoughts already joined. Imagine if I had gone that path. By now, I'll be selling sand. Pack sand, cement full of sand and sell to you people. Just can pour it in your house. I'm selling sand for 1 million. You buy. Just that it may not be you that will be in this church. Because some of you are too serious. I look for people that are unserious like me. I pack all of them. But I would have lost my calling. Totally. I don't know who needs to hear this. Be content. Mind where what you expose yourself to. Because ideas are dropping into your head without your permission. Thoughts are settling without your permission. Ideologies are being formed without your permission. That's why when you entered first year, your skirt used to be here. Now you are in final year, your skirt is now here. How did it move from here to here? Somebody was talking to you, but you are not hearing it. The people in your class were talking to you. People around, everything was talking to you. Something was informing you. Nothing did there. The skirt kept coming up. If you don't shut down influences, very soon you'll be wearing pants up and down. But that's where we are going to this generation. You don't know. Very soon. So, mind your influences. There are people not to follow. Some of you need to leave Facebook. Some of you need to leave TikTok for some time. Some of you need to stop talking to some people for some time. Stop going to some places for some time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you have genuine skills that you can use to make money. But all you are thinking about is how to compromise and use this to cheat people. Because there are people around you, see, doing the same thing. Calm down. Because what is happening is the desire is trying to sulambano, to seize you. Once it seizes you, it will now take you further than you want. It can take you anywhere. You know, remember again, sin is not the end, right? When sin finishes, it will produce death. Become a useless man upon the earth. But that will not be you. Let's do that song we did in the first service. Christ is my firm foundation. Yes. Come on, sing it like you know it. Do you know the song? Sing it, come on. Yes, 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 come on.
So
I've still got joy.
I've still got joy in chaos.
Yes.
I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under.
I'm not held. Like what they are saying.
Faithful through every season.
Why will he fail now? So I've still got,
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under.
Hallelujah. There is a strength that the Holy Ghost gives to win. And you will know that strength. Many of you, in the course of this series, you will experience some setting free. Some things that have held you down. Something that have held you down. Break off. Amen. What you do this week until we meet again on Thursday, there are influences to begin to corrupt. God is empowering you as I'm saying these words. There are influences to begin to corrupt. Those people that have been telling you there is nothing there, anybody that ever says there is nothing there, and he's talking about your standards, God's the person. God, there's always something there. Everybody is doing it. That is even another lie. How many of you know everybody is not doing it? Everybody is not lying. Everybody is not stealing. Everybody is not fornicating. Everybody is not compromising. And you can be that one person that is not. So, how will I become that person that does not do those things? Don't be in the company of the everybody that does it. Because sometimes when you say everybody is doing it, you know the reason you're saying that? There are 9 people around you. 8 of them are doing it. So change your company. There's another company you get to the fact that nobody is doing it. Sometimes, you know, when I was jokingly tell my wife that her course in school, that all those people are Ron's girls. I tell her, how these nursing students? And she'll tell me it's not true. I'll say it's true. She said, oh, that's not. I'm in the class. I said, the problem is you are in the class, but you don't have those people around you. So you can never know. Most times when they say everybody is doing something, it's because everybody around you is everybody.
Do you understand? If you change your everybody around you, you find out everybody is not doing it. There are people who don't compromise in the exam hall. I hope you know that.
I have many of them as friends. Not everybody is asking in the exam hall. Not everybody is sneaking in paper. Everybody is sneaking in paper around you because everybody is actually sneaking in paper around you. Everybody. It's the everybody. So everybody have their everybody.
So change your everybody. Find out everybody is not doing it.
That's why you and your friends are dressed to go out. You wear your own clothes. You are ashamed. Whereas you are doing dressing well, though, because the everybody around you have gone naked. It's only wearing clothes. So you look like the odd one out. So change your everybody. You will find out that you are even indecent. Do you understand? You feel you are decent because everybody around you is naked. So when you wear bone shorts, you think you are decent. But by the time you change your circle, you will not see how indecent you are. You now step up. Are you getting what I'm talking about? There are places not to go. There are places you can sin with your buttocks. How? Just by sitting in a certain place you're not meant to sit. God will help you. And God is helping you. Glory to God. There are people that should stop visiting. I was helping a young man that was addicted to all this India hemp thing. I said, "Where do you smoke that India hemp?" He said, "We go to York." So I said, "Stop going to York." But you know, it's not as easy as I'm saying it. It's not. But I said, "I'm going to help you, but you have to stop going to York. On Thursday, I have some. You are going to see if you really want to come to give no room to the flesh. I have the answer in this, my notes. And I'll give you on Thursday and on Sunday. This is just the beginning, but there are many more things. There are things you can do. You shut those things out. Not as though when we are done, you will never sin again. But, no. You will no longer be that person that every time Satan wants to play with him, he will locate you. Every time he wants to mess with you, he will locate you. He needs someone that will go and lie for him. He will locate you. He needs someone that will kill. Why are you always the available candidate? Give no room to the flesh. Come on, tell that to your neighbor or sister or brother. Give no room to the flesh. Preach it like everything. Say, give no room to the flesh. Tell me, say, this week. Say, this week, I give no room to the flesh. My body is yielded to God as an instrument of righteousness. Only I do not yield my body to sin, to iniquity, to unrighteousness. I yield my body as an instrument of righteousness only. Say, that's my reality. Are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.